the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Now, broadcasting
from the city of angels,
Los Angeles.
You're listening to The Sheena Metal Experience with your host, Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
That's right. It's the Sheena Metal Experience right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, latalkradio.com, sheenametalexperience.com. Don't forget to email me and let me know what you think of the show. And to call and talk to us live, it's 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. My guests all this hour, I believe, are stuck in what I like to call LA traffic of the dams. We're taking a quick commercial break while we wait for them and try to find them. I'm going to sift through the City of Angels and try to find my guests. It's the Sheena Metal Experience right here on LA Talk Radio. Quick break, and we're right back with you with much more radio fun and hopefully a guest or two.
Discovering Sheena Metal.
For God's sakes, do as I say and not as I do.
Do you think we could turn on the city lights for a while?
Brittany Elizabeth has the voice of an angel and the looks of a movie star. She's performed everywhere from Carnegie Hall to the Knitting Factory in Hollywood. This critically acclaimed singer-songwriter reveals it all in her authentic and powerful CD, Breathe In, now available on Desert Sunrise Records. See, hear, and buy Brittany Elizabeth at Brittney Elizabeth.com.
Passion to create the finest quality instrument available anywhere. That's what Minaret Guitars is all about. With his patented tone chamber engineering, Mark Minaret revolutionized the sound of the guitar and bass. He transformed the ordinary guitar body using designs and shapes that truly make his guitars a playable work of art. With artists like Dave Navarro, Dick Dale, and Gene Simmons all playing a Minaret, you know the tone matches the talent. Visit Minaret Guitars online at Minaret Guitars, M-I-N-A-R-I-K, guitars.com.
Hey, you, the talented musician who any label would want if they knew where to find you, come here. We need to get you some serious label attention. So how is that label going to find you with no money and no hot contacts? I'll tell you how. Music Highway, the free online, in-the-know, independent music resource, where you log on and find free industry contacts, free bookings in great LA clubs, and best yet, free radio play on Music Highway Radio. Just log on music-highway.com. Music Highway, where you pave your own road to success.
Your period is a vital sign. If you are a woman under 40 and your period has stopped or is irregular, you may have a condition known as premature ovarian failure, or POF. Other symptoms of POF include infertility, hot flashes, and fatigue. If you have any of these symptoms or know someone who does, please visit our website for more information at www.pofsupport.org. Remember, your period is a vital sign.
Brought to you by the International Premature Ovarian Failure Association. Back by popular demand, one of New York City's favorite rock bands, Joe Steele, brings their unique brand of heavy metal mayhem to the West Coast with the release of their new CD, Rock Hard or Die.
Rock Hard or Die!
To see where you can purchase Rock Hard or Die, or for upcoming tour dates, visit JoeSteeleRocks.com. Remember to request Joe Steele Rock Hard or Die at your local music retail store. Rock Hard or Die at JoeSteeleRocks.com.
There is a darkness.
This place hadn't been touched for years.
And it made me feel terrified.
I don't like that place.
Bring it on!
Evil is the opposite of light and of God. And I think that that can take on a lot of different forms.
Whatever you are, I know what you are.
The place was boarded up.
Fear grabs us all.
Montgomery House, The Perfect Haunting, a Daniel Agnew film. Available on DVD at MontgomeryHouseHaunting.com.
Hey guys, Danielle Agnew here. You know, we talk a lot about psychic phenomena on this show, especially being as that, well, you know, I'm a psychic. But let me tell you guys, there's a lot of people out there who claim to be psychic, and they're not. I invite each and every one of you to head over to my personal website, www.danielleagnew-advisor.com. Before seeking spiritual counsel from anyone, make sure you do your homework. Remember, a psychic is only as good as their intention.
just in time for the holidays. Laugh Out Loud 5, a one-night-only, sold-out night of comedy, now available on DVD. This 90-minute show features 9 of the funniest, nicest, and naughtiest comics anywhere. And there's extras. 100% of the proceeds go to benefit LGBT youth. To order your tax-deductible funny for the holidays, go to lagaycenter.org/LOL5.
Sandra Pillar's new album is Days Like These, featuring the hits I Cross That Bridge, the title track, and Fixin' to Fall.
Fixin' to Fall.
Sandra Pillar has 12 heartfelt songs on Days Like These, her third album. Don't miss Sandra Pillar's Days Like These from Shady Hill Records. You can find it now on iTunes and Amazon. Enjoy Days Like These from Sandra Pillar. Every Thursday night, Sheena Metal hosts Carneyville. LA Talk Radio's Sheena Metal presents Carneyville at the Other Door Bar in NoHo. Great live bands, carny games, circus performers, food trucks, full bar, drink specials, and a whole big party with guys, gals, and great live bands on stage at the Other Door, the nightclub in NoHo. The Other Door is at 10437 Burbank Boulevard, just east of Cahuenga. Carneyville starts at 8 p.m. Cover is just $5. Sheena Metal hosts Carneyville every Thursday night at the Other Door Bar in NoHo.
I'm glad that you don't know.
Scott Joss and Doug Colosio, two members of Merle Haggard's band, have released their first album called A Couple of Strangers.
Yeah, my voodoo woman's calling out to me.
Scott Joss and Doug Colosio on iTunes from Colosio Publishing.
So don't bother knocking, come on in, the party's rocking, I wonder if I do.
Johnny Harmonic.
This is Johnny Harmonic. The album is We All Love Bright Shiny Things. Johnny Harmonic, We All Love Bright Shiny Things on iTunes from Colosio Publishing.
Marino da Silva, one of the greatest guitarists of our time. Satisfaction from Voodoo Charm, the album, on iTunes now. Discover the magic at marinorocks.com. Welcome to his rock and roll universe.
Getting from here to there has never been so much fun. Come take the wheel of the new 2016 Androix Coupe. Longer, lower, wider, smaller, faster, and longer. Androix, now with an $85,000 rebate from your local Androix dealer. Sure, it costs a lot, but it's worth it to look like you're really going places, even when you're stuck in traffic. The Androix Coupe, A-N-D-R-O-Y-X. Androix is the unofficial car of the Sheena Metal programs. People are on the move, on the go, and on the run. It's a paper chase in a rat race. You need something to keep ahead of the pack. At Big Pharma, we're here to help with the newest energy supplement, Androix. 2,000 milligrams of caffeine, 500 grams of sugar, and a whole heaping gob of something we scrape from the mucus of bottom-feeding sea creatures. Put some pep in your step with Androix. A-N-D-R-O-Y-X. Available now for Sheena Metal listeners. Technology has leaped forward, introducing the latest in mobile communication devices, the all-new, all-powerful Androix. Forget 3G, 4G, or 5G. Androix brings you 157G. Hands-free operation. Mind-free operation. Androix. More powerful than Satan and twice as wicked. Only for pre-approved Sheena Metal listeners. Product not shown actual size. Offer not valid in Vermont.
Discovering Sheena Metal.
I'll tell you what drives me crazy is the face. That scary, weird, stretched, puffy, implanted face. Don't get a scary face like that. Do not wear a mask unless it's Halloween. And even then, if you scare a child and it dies, someone's going to sue you.
Minarik Guitars. Made for artists who refuse to compromise. The Minarik Lotus.
Awarded the Gold Award by World Magazine.
The Minarik Inferno.
Awarded the Editor's Pick by Guitar Magazine.
The Minarik Studio Extreme Series guitars play as well as the Super Custom Series.
Minarik guitars are played by Lemmy and Phil, as well as of Coheed and Cambria.
Go to MinarikGuitars.com to check out these guitars and the stars who use them.
M-I-N-A-R-I-K guitars.com.
Found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to The Sheena Metal Experience with your host, Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's the Sheena Metal Experience right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, latalkradio.com, sheenametalexperience.com. Don't forget to email me and let me know what you think of the show. And I don't have any idea where my guests are. Guests, no comunicado. They could be wandering around Los Angeles. They could be stuck in the elevator here in the LA Talk Radio compound. They could be having a seance in the parking lot, because we do that on occasion, have a seance in the downstairs parking lot. They could be across the street at the coffee shop, completely forgetting that they have to do a radio show today. I'm really not sure what happened, but never fear. There's always somebody wonderful on the Sheena Metal Experience. And as the new year has crested into the 2012, the year we're all supposed to die, we have not yet had a visit from my resident industry guy, my publicist, and should be yours, from Galosio Publishing and G-Man Marketing, the wonderful John Scott G joins us today. John, it's such a thrill to have you.
I couldn't resist not talking for a second. Hi, how you doing?
Did you just want to jump in during that big introduction?
Oh, man. When you were doing the introduction, I kept wanting to just shout out, who is it? Who?
Yeah, I know, and I don't want to say, and I'll tell you why. Because they've been wonderful guests on the show before, and I've never had anything like this happen. Their publicist is a very dear friend, and I've never had anything like this happen with any of his clients. And I'm not 100% sure that when I go home, that it's not going to be that I screwed up the date, because I don't have, you know, my full laptop with everything here, and I could have written down something wrong, and I just need to go and check it. But I was pretty sure this was it.
You're going to get an email that says something like, God, we're sure looking forward to that show tomorrow.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. And I hope it's not supposed to be next Wednesday, because then I'm going to have to figure out what I'm doing with the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to have a little Globetrotters in studio next week.
Excellent.
Isn't that awesome? I hope they'll teach me how to do that ball on the finger thing.
Cool. That'd be great.
Well, I had one of the Globetrotters. What?
And that's perfect.
Isn't it? It's perfect. I hope they'll wear their red, white, and blue, because that matters on radio. No, just because I want to take a picture with them and send it to my mom, because she loved them when I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
So I had one of them on in the fall, and now they've got...
Do you have the theme music?
Ba 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 ba.
Sweet Georgia Brown.
Should I play it, or should actually the first time when I had one of the Globetrotters in studio, they sent it to me to play. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, I think that's pretty.
They really have their stuff in a group.
Uh huh.
Everything's always very organized with them, and I like that they consider themselves to be not only basketball players but ambassadors of goodwill. And I think we could use a million or so more of those on this earth.
Yes, that would be great. I think we should start exporting. Lots of Harlem Globetrotters teams. If you were to drop Harlem Globetrotters teams from those large cargo airplanes, along with a lot of marijuana, I think we could solve a lot of the world's problems.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, maybe I should write an article.
Yeah, I like that. How about a Globetrotter, a kind of a brick of pot, and a case of Snickers?
That's true. You will have the munchies, so yes. Okay.
Right, and the Harlem Globetrotters tricks are even more amazing if you're stoned.
Yeah,
I think that says goodwill like nothing. I think that if we're going to start exporting and the ambassadors of goodwill, the Harlem Globetrotters, then I think we should start literally deporting people who are ambassadors of badwill.
Okay, that sounds fine.
Wouldn't
that
be nice?
Then that argues for keeping the goodwill people from our shores and other shores, because we don't want people saying, yeah, they went to America, and now they're here, and they're evil. We don't want that.
No, I'm thinking exporting, like, to the dark side of the moon.
No, okay. Oh, they could go to Newt Gingrich's colony. That would be good.
Yeah. Well, that's right, because Newt Gingrich, what exactly did someone tell him there's oil on the moon? Is that what's going on with him?
No, he was making a speech to people who work on the space coast of Florida, and they're upset that we don't have any moon missions, so he just invented one so that, you know, vote for me and you'll get more money coming in here for NASA.
Oh, nice. It's kind of like he's the Free Pizza Friday president.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's very funny. I mean, it was so transparent. That's what was hysterical about it. I don't mind the idea of space exploration. I just think there should be some purpose to it. If he was going to take the entire Republican Party and put it up there, that's fine. I'll cede the moon to them. That's great.
Well, maybe we could have Bad Will Land, and where we would put the ambassadors of Bad Will.
I like it. And you don't get no Harlem Globetrotters up there.
No. Well, the goodwill could be on the light side of the moon. The bad will goes to the dark side of the moon.
Okay. Well, that's fine. And although they probably do have Pink Floyd up there, so... but that's okay. Even a great album like that, you get tired of it. It's the only one you've got. So
they may eventually build their own Death Star, though, and then we'd be in trouble. Maybe
yes, that's true.
Perhaps
that's
that is this prequel to Star Wars that we never saw.
Yes, you're right. They've got all the plans. Yeah, you got to watch out for that.
So are you a... I know that we've talked a little bit about... I don't know if we can talk about our secret project or if you want to talk about it, but that's up to you. About 2012 and everyone's obsession with... I mean, I've actually had people say to me, Scott, well, you know, I better get it right this year because it's not going to be our world for much longer. And they really believe that come the third week of December of this year... How do you feel about that?
I think they're just trying to get out of buying Christmas presents, but that's okay. I have no problem with that. Now you know that press release has now launched.
So we can talk about it.
The special pricing.
Yeah.
And you're involved. I talk to every single client. You, Sandra Piller, Jane Bogg, Robin Hood Music, Matt Forger, Goodnight Kiss Music. Everybody who is a current client, including some of the Golosio writers, and said, why don't we offer some special deal for the end of the world?
Sure.
And, you know, almost everybody cracked up about it. Some of the assistants, you know, who were like transcribing my notes or whatever, they didn't always get it. It's like, well, we can't, like, give away stuff for free. No, you don't understand. It's only if the world ends that you give away the stuff for free. It says some restrictions apply. The world must end. Then you can give away your stuff for free. So, you know, nobody can lose on this. It's just hysterical. Now, some of the PR dissemination sites have refused to take it because they're going, well, this isn't true. You can't offer something that's not going to, you know. It's like, don't you have a sense of humor over there? Good Lord. But it's on Citizen Wire, who, by the way, transposed the headline into, I love the ego on this. It's really helpful. John Scott G. from G-Man Marketing. To help entertainment companies survive the impending 2012 apocalypse with offbeat marketing stunt.
Nice. Nice. And do you think, let me ask something really serious for a moment. Do you think that some local businesses in the music business and local LA businesses will suffer if there is an apocalypse?
You mean any more than they're already suffering?
Right. Do you think an apocalypse could make the economy any worse?
Well, if you believe the figures from the federal office, I mean, things are actually getting a bit better, which is kind of nice.
Okay.
But, the whole thing is just really kind of fun. And,
it's awesome.
I don't mind that people are going, I love this Mayan calendar thing. It's right. They got to the end just the way our calendars end at December 31st.
Right.
And then, you know, you make the next year calendar, right? Well, they did more than 1 year, but they came to the end of whatever it was they were doing. Then their civilization died out. Theirs ended way back before their calendar did. They just didn't get around to making the next calendar.
Exactly. Well, that's what I know. That's the funny thing about it, right? And there's that great Far Side cartoon that's like, boy, someone's going to freak out when it gets to this date. But, yeah. I mean, it's sort of, I always say, like, if you called Hallmark and you said, can I order a calendar for 2034? They would say, we don't have those. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be a 2034.
Right, exactly.
But I love that people are so freaked out. So explain what the press release basically lays out so people know what we're talking about and know what kind of end-of-the-world goodies they can get.
If the world ends on or about December 21st, because I thought I'd give people a little wiggle room there, I will do PR services for free for the, you know, until the end of the year, from the end of the world until the end of the year, free PR. And then I contacted you and everybody else. Well, what do you give? You know, you're in there. You're going to do a commercial for people for free, and you're going to let bands play at Carneyville an extra set, even if all of their fans are dead. That's no problem. So everybody's given free stuff, and then some of them wanted to be even funnier. It's like, well, wait, if the world ends, how about 1/3 off on mixing and mastering an album?
Oh,
which I thought was hysterical.
Because you're really going to need a discount on your album mastering if the world ends.
Exactly.
Now, what am I offering? Because I told you just like what you could, that you had carte blanche to just offer whatever you wanted on my behalf. So what am I offering?
Oh, I didn't. I thought you read the. That's right. You don't even proof the stuff. Boy, that's trust.
No, I trust you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is trust.
I totally trust you.
Host on LA Talk Radio will create a radio commercial for your product.
I remember that. Yeah, that's good.
Your Carneyville live music event will let your band play two sets for free, quote, even if all your fans have expired.
No, I do remember that, and that is all good. Okay, good. I didn't know if it went into, like, even further detail, but no. No, that's it.
And then, Goodnight Kiss Music is offering half off on music consultations, which I think is hysterical, right? She's only willing to go half off if the world ends.
Well, that's Janet.
You know, Phil Hatton will create a logo for free. Funk Movie will create a free music video. And then we put in, some, this isn't me, it's just one of the Golosio people saying, we will pitch your song to whatever film and TV projects are still available, although they probably will just be basic cable.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good, though. That's still a good deal.
Yeah.
Because we don't really know, we don't even know, it might even wind up just being antenna at that point if there's an apocalypse. We may all go back to network.
Yeah, it could be. It could very well be. Like, do you have an antenna on your roof? Oh, too bad. Well, you won't get our end of the world broadcast then. Sorry.
Right. Do you still have that? I still have that antenna that, like, it's on my roof and then it came down through the wall and you could plug it into your stereo or your TV.
Right.
I think probably because my place is not that old. I think it was probably the last townhome in the Southern California that actually had one of those.
Well, I pulled up the carpeting in the corner of my living room because I'm changing some of the wood there. There was a leak, so you take out the stuff that was warped and you lay in new wood and then you put the carpet back. And I'm going, well, wait, what are all these cable things? And I realized it's that old dual wire flat plastic thing with the two wires on the end of it. It's the thing from the old TV antenna. It's all there. It's like coiled up under the carpets, all ready to go. There's no antenna on the roof anymore because,
right.
I mean, that went back years. But all the wiring is still in the walls of the house. I think that's really funny. So I'm ready. I just need to put an antenna up there. The wires are all set.
Because they would, of course, have to start broadcasting through the antenna again.
Well, you'll have to go back to your Sheena Metal cable access show, and then you will be the programming, kind of like in Max Headroom, you know, where there's just the guy out there in what was once his car. He's just broadcasting stuff.
Well, they have that, you know, right by my house. They have that on Burbank and Coldwater Canyon. Now everyone can come and stalk me. They have that that radio signal tower that's like Radio Disney and has like a little kind of a utility hut that comes with it. I'm thinking we could do the show there and just send it right up that antenna.
Right. Well, first of all,
that'll be a little electricity.
We're already all stalking you. And secondly, yes, that's a great idea.
We'd have to get some donkeys to run really fast on a wheel to generate some power.
That's right. Just dangle the carrot in front of him. Well, you know what? Hit him on the back with a stick. Those are the two things.
Right. Or the Twinkie or whatever it is that still has made it, because the carrots might all be dead.
Well, the Twinkies. I mean, if you've got Twinkies, they're going to last. There's no crunch. But if you eat them, that's it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it.
Somewhere there's a warehouse. You just know in the Midwest there's a warehouse where they got, you know, 400,000 cases of Twinkies.
So here's what I'm asking you. When you put the press release out, and it went out yesterday, right?
Well, I went out last night as a prelim thing just on Send to Press because, you know, that's a neotrope company, and they're the ones who run my, you know, they're doing my Secret Sex book, and they're doing the
wonderful
the columns. So since they were there, they thought, well, you know, officially it launches tomorrow morning, but what the heck, we got a few minutes here. Let's just put it on our site. And of course, you know, Newsblaze grabbed it immediately because it's just so funny. So it actually launched before the date. So I just love the fact that it was dated today, but it actually appeared yesterday. So that was hysterical.
That's great.
But officially it went out at about, I don't know, 2 this afternoon, I think. And now, you know, tons of pickups and all that. But PR Newswire decided not to run it, which I thought was very funny. I said, well, this just isn't true. Okay, well, you know, from this point forward, you will always be known as the company that just doesn't get it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. That was my lead-in, and it's funny that you said that. You must be psychic. I was wondering if people still have a sense of humor, because we've become a very literal society. And when you sent this out, if anybody was going to get the fun of it, or if they were going to think you were some crackpot who was really trying to scam people after the apocalypse.
Well, I have no idea whether there's any of that. My guess is that, sure, there's plenty of it. But in terms of my clients, no, everybody immediately got back to me. Well, actually, that's not true. One person got back to me saying, you know, I'm just back from the hospital and I'm on antibiotics and I can't really focus, but I trust you. Just go ahead. And I emailed back, well, okay, yeah, trust me. It is funny. It'll be fine.
Right.
So, but it was only the assistants who had some problems. Some of these people just were arguing with me about, well, you know, we're not sure that we want to go that, you know, give it for free. I don't know. You don't understand. You're not ever going to have to give it away.
But even if you did, let me tell
you
something.
If you have to explain it, it's not funny.
Let me tell you something. Even if just a minor apocalypse happened.
No. It says right here, some restrictions apply. The world must end. If the world doesn't end, you don't get the free CD.
Okay. All right. I was going to give it away even just for a minor apocalypse.
Really? Oh, that's the second. Well, see, my goal in putting this out here in February is to do little new stories whenever, you know, something happens that relates to it. We'll just revamp this. Not
Love
that I'm going to do the same wording, because I don't want to undercut Neotrope, but I'll rewrite the opening and put in a new joke. And so that's a perfect one. You know, and thinking about it, Sheena Metal Productions has decided that, you know, even if it's not a total apocalypse.
Yeah, I'll still offer it.
They will honor it. Their largesse is so magnanimous.
Yeah, if you can just come and show me that your face is partially melting, I'll give you free ads.
I like it.
Yeah, and you can play for 2 hours, provided that you can live for 2 hours. If not, you can play for less than 2 hours, and we'll double up the night.
That's great.
I think it's a fantastic idea. And I think it's interesting that and wonderful that you have come up with ideas like this and like the Androids campaign that have a sense of humor, because I think as the human species, we definitely need that right now.
Well, I'm glad you think that's helpful. It makes me feel funny, so that's good. I don't like the fact that I keep reading these really downer, serious things. I mean, you have to. There's a lot of downer, serious stuff out there, but sure, when we're doing it, come on, we're laughing and joking from time to time, so why can't we put it into some of our stuff? The other thing I think is amazing is 100% of my clients went along with it. How often can you put out a press release where everybody has agreed?
Yeah, that's cool, right?
Right? I mean, I figured there'd be at least one person who'd go, nah, I don't want to participate in it. But no, everybody was fine. Jane Bach was amazing. I mean, I hadn't sent the email out more than about 4 minutes, and it came back, you know, she was reading it on the mobile, and she just went, this is hilarious, I love it, do it! And I just thought, well, that's great, because if she likes it, then, you know, a bunch of people are going to go, oh, well, that's good. There's a mainstream Nashville country writer who's saying that this is great, well, we got to get in on this. So that was helpful, I think.
Now, what do you get? What is Jane offering if the world ends?
Oh, she'll co-write a song with someone without taking any payment.
Oh, I love that.
And she knew immediately, well, I'll never have to do it, so that's fine. I don't mind.
And maybe it, at the end it could say co-write a song without taking any payment or even caring if you have any talent.
Ooh, there's a follow-up.
I'll write with anyone who lives. Jane Bach says, I'll write with anyone who lives.
That's funny. That's very funny. Now, the thing is, you know, that's the kind of joke that Jane and I would crack up about. But she would not actually want that to go out because it is in some way hurtful. And so she would never make a joke like you or me might make a joke like that.
Well, you can put that in my Carneyville thing, that you could play a two-hour set.
We can put it in for you. Yeah,
even if you have no talent, provided that you survive.
Yes, as long as you've survived, it doesn't matter if you can't play.
Yes, I will book anyone who lives.
And even if Scott Fuchs dies, I, Sheena Metal, will still run sound for you.
Right, if DJ Scott, the sound man from Carneyville, passes out dead or does not survive the minor or major apocalypse, then I will step in and I will run things myself.
Or he's DJing across town that night.
Last week they got me up for the first time to perform with a band, and that was a little interesting.
Really?
Yeah, you know, and I immediately was very shy because, you know, people like don't really know about me. I think that in person, I'm actually very shy. I'm not the kind of person I'm like, hey, welcome to Carneyville and want to hear me sing something. I mean, I'm just really not like that. I'm very gregarious here or when you see me in a play or if you see me with my band, because that's my job. But in my own life, when I'm just hanging out, even at Carneyville, I mean, I think I'm very friendly and accessible, but I certainly would never, never, never want to get myself up on stage. I even let DJ Scott do all of the introductions and introduce the bands because he does such a beautiful job with it. And I don't need to be, you know, dragging my butt in front of a microphone every 5 minutes. I live in front of a microphone. So a band came, and I had forgotten that the singer from the band had been one of my very first guests here the first year that the Sheena Metal Experience was happening on LA Talk Radio. And he had performed a song called Hollywood Douchebag. And I know that a name is popping into your head right now. We will not say on the air. And okay. He was performing in studio. And he said, hey, Sheena, do you want to sing background vocals? So evidently I did. Now, I have no recollection of this because, you know, after about 800 shows, you start to forget a couple of things. So I remembered it when he told me, but I had forgotten about it at the time. And so he's like, well, you have to get up and perform it with us live because you did it in the studio. It'll be funny. And I'm like, okay, because, you know, my new thing is I say yes all the time. And right. Then I sat there and I thought, oh, God, I hope he forgets about it. I hope he forgets about it because I'm shy. So they played the whole set, and I was really beginning to believe he'd forgotten about it. And then I saw Scott walking towards me, and I'm like, oh, no. And he's like, yeah, the singer from the band is saying something about how you're going to get up and perform with them right now. And I thought, and of course I had friends there, and I'm like, oh, God, I got to sing in front of my friends. And so I did it. I got up there, and I sang the backing vocal part to Hollywood Douchebag, and I didn't even die of shyness. And afterwards, I was actually very glad I did. So that's my Carneyville from last week story.
Cool.
And it was actually kind of fun. I mean, it was a lot of fun. He was wonderful to perform with. You know, I get a little nervous when things aren't planned, or not planned, because I can improv my way through, you know, 10 hours on the radio in a row. When people, I don't want to like pop up on stage with somebody and then I'm in the drummer's way and I don't know the part, so I make the song suck. I don't ever want to be that person that like mucks up the live performance.
That's very nice of you. And there are so many different things that can happen. We moved the bridge to after
right.
The third chorus. You know, and you're launching into that key change where, oh, no, right. It's not here. Oh, man.
So it was kind of a lot of just keeping an eye on him and just watching what he did and following him. And I thought, oh, this is kind of good practice because, you know, my only real experience as a singer, with a very few exceptions and, you know, doing is situations where I'm either in a musical or I'm with my own band where I know exactly what's going to happen and I've rehearsed everything.
Right.
So it was kind of a cool experience to get up there. Like, I never belonged to like a group of musicians that we all just sat and jammed. That was kind of never my thing. And, you know, I dated a blues musician for 10 years, and he loved to go to jams, and he would take me and we would be at the jam. And then, you know, all the other wives and girlfriends all wanted to get up and sing Stormy Monday and sing Red House. And they were all like scrabbling to get at that microphone. And scrambling to get it down. And I was just like, yeah, let's let them sing. I'll just sit here. And the people would say, well, Sheena, aren't you in a band? I'd say, yeah, but you know what? This is my day off from the microphone. Because I never wanted to be that person who was like, you know, I've never in my life, one time a friend talked me into doing a duet. Only one time have I ever sang karaoke. And again, I was dragged. I'm not one of those people that's like, let's look at a performance opportunity for me.
No, so, I don't know. The karaoke thing is just so bizarre, but okay, that's fine. I make no judgments. Well, actually, that's not true. I make judgments all the time, but I'm making none now.
Well, you know, maybe it's good for me to, I'm thinking maybe in 2012 that something I can work on is maybe I don't need to be such a tight ass. So
no, I think you're doing it the right way. I let the other people go up there and
right.
do that, and you only do the stuff that's rehearsed. That way we know that, gee, she kind of wanted it that way. All right.
Well, yeah, but if somebody really says to me, will you please get up and do this with me? It's okay for me to say yes.
Oh, I see.
I don't need to be like, no. Because first of all, you know, when you sit here and talk smack on the radio 15 hours a week, and then you're trying to explain to somebody that you're shy, no one believes you. They're not shy. I've heard what you say on the radio. There's no way you're shy.
That's
I get that
funny.
All the time from people.
But wait, can't you just say, I'm not in character?
Oh, that's interesting. That's artsy, Scott. John.
I blew
my 2012 goal, which was to only call you John.
Oh, well, okay. Whatever. I think John it's funny
Scott.
That people are back and forth. It's just...
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, there you go. She. Nah. So listen, Nah. I can call you Nah.
You can call
she
me Nah.
No
or
problem.
She. You can call me She. Yeah, you can call me the Met.
The
or
Met.
Just all, if that makes you feel better. I am the
Ms.
goddess
Mittal.
All.
phone call from Miss Mittal.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I've been playing the hell out of the Android spots, and I'm just in love with them. And I like when people are like really listening to see what kind of advertisers I have, and then the Android ad comes on, and they're not, you know, quite sure if they're not sure if they should think it's serious or not. They don't want to start laughing, and then I'm like, you know what? They gave me a 1,000,005. You know, they're my biggest advertiser. Great, now I'm fired.
That's right. Yeah, well, that's part of the fun of doing that stuff. I wish I had more time to do more of them because, the last one that I wanted to do, it's one of those where, oh, no, I need sound effects. Oh, no, that takes time. I don't have that. I have ideas. I just don't have time to do anything about them.
And, I know,
and
you're very
it's all
busy.
My own fault. I mean, when I decided to do that book, I thought, oh, yeah, that'll be fun. You know, it's good to have goals like that. One chapter a week is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. But what are you going to do?
I think one chapter a week is phenomenally fast. How many chapters are you hoping the book's going to be?
48.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm working on chapter 22 today, but I think only 14 of them are launched because I'm trying to keep six ahead just in case, you know, something happens that I... Oh, no, you're going to have to work on this project, and it'll take a month. No! Oh, wait, I'm 6 weeks ahead. Okay, I'm all right.
Now, when it's done, you're going to come on the show and just talk about the book, right? We're going to do a whole segment on the book.
Oh, I suppose we could do that, although I may also just launch into the next one because I've already got notes for the next one about a very naughty lady in Milwaukee. So that'll be kind of fun.
Beautiful. Now, tell my listeners sort of the gist of what the book's about.
The current book is called Secret Sex, which refers to all kinds of things that we do in our own minds or behind closed doors. Not just sex, but sex is a much better title than the other stuff. It's based on a play that was written about 15 years ago called Secret Sex, Safe Radiation, and Other Half-Vast Concoctions.
Beautiful.
Which played around town in numerous castings. You know, I wasn't getting anywhere with the play because you gotta have a whole crew of people, you know, to put on a play. But it suddenly dawned on me, duh, dummy, if you turn it into a book, all you need is you. I can control all the characters if it's writing in a book rather
Absolutely.
Than dialogue on a page where you need people to bring it alive. So I started doing that. I'm about halfway through the script. Well, actually, that's pretty good. If I'm on chapter 22 and I'm aiming for 48 and I'm halfway through the play, that's working out. That's,
you're almost halfway through the book, so you're doing great.
Working out pretty well. And I have more notes than I need for all of the chapters, which means either I got column ideas or more secret sex, you know, part two or something.
Right,
I don't
right.
know. But,
the secret sex home companion.
As an autobiographical novel, which isn't exactly the case. Everything in the book happened. It didn't all happen to me. Some of the stuff happened to friends of mine, but I just am making the main character have it all happen to him. It's just much more fun that way.
It's wonderful.
Gotten a lot of nice emails where people are saying that they find it very funny, so that's good.
It's fantastic.
And they seem, the nice thing for me, Sheena, is they're finding the things funny that I think are funny, rather than that really serious paragraph, and they just say, oh, I really cracked that one. No, I really meant that one. So at least the reactions seem to be the same way my reactions are.
Wonder, now, this is not your first book.
Well, as Gerald Lawrence, I have two books published back in the 80s. I had a diet book that I did as Gerald Lawrence, and I had a mystery novel that Berkeley Books put out. But again, those are both as Jerry Larry, as I called him. And then, you know, I've ghostwritten some books, you know, how to be a real estate millionaire, you know, those kinds of things. I've written a couple of those pieces of crap and lies and all that. the kind of gig you take for money, you know, just, well, okay, that's fine. I'll do this stupid thing. I mean, one of them was so bizarre, they gave me tapes. It's actually very funny. I should put it, I don't know if I would work in the end of the book when I'm going to get a little bit into some of the business aspects of, you know, what happens when you finally get to be an adult. But these people went to somebody else's real estate seminar, you know, like a 20-week course, and they recorded it. And they gave me the tapes and said, okay, just write that into a book, but just make sure you don't use any of their language. So one of those things that you see online is like, how to make millions in real estate. It's written by so-and-so. Well, no, I actually wrote it, and it's a transcription. It's stolen information from somebody else's seminar.
One time I was editing for a low-budget horror company, and the guy who owned the company decided that he didn't like the director's cut of a film that had been shot in England.
Okay.
So basically he handed me a box of tapes, like a big box of tapes, like almost 50 tapes. And then he said, and I did say tapes, people. This was when we used 3/4-inch tapes, and I think they shot it on high def, or I don't know what they shot it on, but it was tapes. And basically said, I don't like it, make a movie out of it.
Cool.
So that's what I had to do. I had to try, and a lot of it was like really dark. I mean, I don't know who this poor gentleman's DP was, but wow. A lot of it you couldn't even really see. A lot of it you couldn't hear. And I had to put it, and then I brought it to him, and he's like, well, it doesn't really have enough sex in it. And I'm like, well, that's all the sex there was. I mean, at one point, I even think I stretched a shower scene out to be about 10 minutes because it was a bathtub scene with lots of floating boob jobs in the tub. And I thought, well, you know what? At least you can see it and you don't have to hear it. You can throw in some nice foley of tinkling water. So he's like, this bath scene's like 10 minutes. And I'm like, what? You know what? You wanted some boobs and that's where they are.
Now, where can I find this footage?
I could probably find it for you. I don't want to say the name of the film because I don't know whatever happened to it. I'll have to look. But you know what? I'll give you a secret. I think if you go to my imdb.com page, you can find the name of it under my editing credits.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I don't know what the final cut ever looked like because I never heard about it again. And then I was going to do, you probably remember, Scott, because I was going to cast you in it. I was going to do a series for the same company, kind of a sex.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, kind of a sex record industry, sexy Melrose Placey kind of thing. And
well, I remember having real second thoughts about that. Not because of the subject matter, but because of the time. It's just like, oh, no, she says it's going to fit into my schedule, but those things never do.
Right, and it would have, because we would have shot it for like $2.50. But then right when we were going to launch into production for that, I got hired by CBS and started working on that other FM station. And then that was 7 years of my life. So, oddly enough, how weird is this? About a year ago, I found out that one of my best friends, the guy who owns that company, is his aunt's husband.
Hmm.
It's kind of strange, right? That you find out that it just comes back around. So
sometimes things are just too close for comfort. Although, speaking of that topic, just think of all the props we could probably get from California Exotic Novelties.
Right? Did you notice at the Super Bowl, a lot of the microphones look like dildos?
Yes, that's true.
I don't know what the story
is. And what's with these, you know, they're trying to do those flesh-colored headset mics, and it just makes it look like you've got this bump on your face.
Yeah,
it's
awful.
Make it black or silver, people. Come on.
Yeah, make it look like a microphone so we know what it is. Just awful. John, you are wonderful, and thank you so much for being on the show with me today. And where's the best place people can find out about everything you're doing online?
Oh, the best place is johnscottg.com.
Now, can people find out about your book there and also read the press release for the end of the world proposition?
Oh, you know what? Thank you very much for reminding me. I don't think I've got a link to the press release on that page yet, so I will. But yes, in terms of the book, it says read chapter one of Secret Sex here on the theory that you can then get to chapters 2 through 14
right.
Once you start with one. So that's on there. And you know what? As soon as I hang up, I'm going to put the link to this press release on there as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here with me today. Thanks always for being such a great guest. And thanks for kicking off 2012 and doing the show. You're one of my favorite guests. It's always great to big you back. And everybody, if you missed any of the links for the wonderful John Scott G, just go to SheenaMetalExperience.com or LATalkRadio.com. Send me an email and I'll gladly forward those links over to you. I'm Sheena. It's The Experience. You're listening to LA Talk Radio. Quick break and we're right back with you with much more radio fun.
Discovering Sheena Metal.
For God's sakes, do as I say and not as I do.
Do you think we could turn on the city lights for a while?
Brittany Elizabeth has the voice of an angel and the looks of a movie star. She's performed everywhere from Carnegie Hall to the Knitting Factory in Hollywood. This critically acclaimed singer-songwriter reveals it all in her authentic and powerful CD, Breathe In, now available on Desert Sunrise Records. See, hear, and buy Brittany Elizabeth at BrittneyElizabeth.com.
Passion to create the finest quality instrument available anywhere. That's what Minarek Guitars is all about. With his patented tone chamber engineering, Mark Minarek revolutionized the sound of the guitar and bass. He transformed the ordinary guitar body using designs and shapes that truly make his guitars a playable work of art. With artists like Dave Navarro, Dick Dale, and Gene Simmons all playing a Minarek, you know the tone matches the talent. Visit Minarek Guitars online at Minarek Guitars, M-I-N-A-R-I-K, guitars.com.
Discovering
Sheena Metal.
Secretly, I laugh.
There's a darkness.
This place hadn't been touched for years,
and it made me feel terrified.
I don't like that place.
Bring it on!
Evil is the opposite of light and of God. And I think that that can take on a lot of different forms.
Whatever you are, I know what you are.
The place was boarded up.
Fear grabs us all.
Montgomery House, The Perfect Haunting, a Danielle Agnew film. Available on DVD at montgomeryhousehaunting.com.
Back by popular demand, one of New York City's favorite rock bands, Joe Steele, brings their unique brand of heavy metal mayhem to the West Coast with the release of their new CD, Rock Hard or Die.
Rock Hard or Die!
To see where you can purchase Rock Hard or Die, or for upcoming tour dates, visit joesteelrocks.com. Remember to request Joe Steele Rock Hard or Die at your local music retail store. Rock Hard or Die at joesteelrocks.com.
Every Thursday night, Sheena Metal hosts Carneyville. LA Talk Radio's Sheena Metal presents Carneyville at the Other Door Bar in NoHo. Great live bands, carny games, circus performers, food trucks, full bar, drink specials, and a whole big party with guys, gals, and great live bands on stage at the Other Door, the nightclub in NoHo. The Other Door is at 10437 Burbank Boulevard, just east of Cahuenga. Carneyville starts at 8 p.m. Cover is just $5. Sheena Metal hosts Carneyville every Thursday night at the Other Door Bar in NoHo. Sandra Pillar's new album is Days Like These, featuring the hits I Cross That Bridge, the title track, and Fixin' to Fall.
Fixin' to Fall.
Sandra Pillar has 12 heartfelt songs on Days Like These, her third album. Don't miss Sandra Pillar's Days Like These from Shady Hill Records. You can find it now on iTunes and Amazon. Enjoy Days Like These from Sandra Pillar.
Just in time for the holidays. Laugh Out Loud 5, a one-night-only, sold-out night of comedy, now available on DVD. This 90-minute show features 9 of the funniest, nicest, and naughtiest comics anywhere. And there's extras. 100% of the proceeds go to benefit LGBT youth. To order your tax-deductible Funny for the Holidays, Go to lagaycenter.org/LOL5.
You found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to The Sheena Metal Experience with your host, Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's the Sheena Metal Experience right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, latalkradio.com, sheenametalexperience.com. Don't forget to email me and let me know what you think of the show. And to call and talk to us live, it's 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. My guest all this hour is one of my favorites here on the Sheena Metal Experience. He's a super, super talented creative and business entity, and his new station, the Anthus Channel, is going to be launching this year, and the community for Anthus has already launched with a wonderful idea that I love that I always let him explain to you because he does it so much better than me. Please welcome Charles Edelman to the show. Charles, it's so great to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. And who was that lead up for? It was me. Oh,
because you're amazing. Did you feel amazing after that?
I wanted to meet this guy. I didn't know who he was.
It's you, my friend. Tell me again, because I don't ever want to get it wrong, sort of the mission behind the Anthus Channel.
You got it. Anthus is a health, wellness, social cause, positivity network. It's really a social community television
Beautiful.
Network. It changes how we interact and immerse ourselves into the internet world. At the same time, we're trying to create synergistic connections globally between nonprofits, advertisers, and consumers. You know, it's kind of been the missing pyramid through the whole business model, and companies are starting to become more wise in terms of how they engage their audience, and we're really trying to capture that and create a network that drives forward really what everybody wants now, which is programming that's not negative, not the negative news, not all the bad stuff. You know, we want to feel good about what we're doing from morning to night, whether we're doing Twitter, or we're doing Facebook, or we're watching programming, whatever it is, you know, we want to find a way that we can change the dynamic, because right now there's so much negative rhetoric happening in the media. And the media needs that in order to get advertisers. We get it.
Yeah.
But we're not that ship. Everybody else can be on that ship and sink in the next few years. We're trying to change how we approach the media market.
It's interesting because I noticed this year, now I hardly ever... I shouldn't even say this, but I don't watch as many commercials as I should because I have TiVo. Most of the commercials I watch are on the net. When I do on demand, when I watch things on demand, banner ads and ads happening on the computer, on YouTube, whatnot. But I only watch the Super Bowl for the commercials. I'm not a sports person. I wish I was. I was not raised that way. I'm all theater and art. But I have friends that convince me every year to come to their house for the Super Bowl. And, you know, some like the football and the rest of us watch the commercials. And I noticed this year that there was sort of a trend of positivity in the commercials. Not as many, oh, guy wants Dorito, guy gets slammed in the face. I mean, it was more things that kind of made you think, more like the Elton John commercial, very much about the bad guy gets it, then everybody gets a Pepsi. You know, more kind of the positive, even the car commercials, the little bugs all having a good time screaming down the road in the grill of the car. So many opportunities for the commercial to kind of go bad, and then it didn't.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such a, and it's interesting how the energy in the room changes when the commercials don't end and somebody getting hurt, somebody getting laughed at. There really is an energetic thread to what comes out of the television, what comes out of the radio.
Absolutely. And in essence, networks have sold themselves to the devil, you know, because they need to pay for these very expensive TV productions, which we all watch.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, you're using Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Doritos, you know, Taco Bell. Did I just name one company? Yeah.
Right.
You know, that literally, you know, are our biggest problem. It's our problem with, it's an epidemic, you know, with weight and obesity and youth and everything else. Yet we're supporting that because the programming that we want to watch is supported and paid for by the same advertisers and the same products that we're trying to avoid. So as Anthus, as a company, we are trying to take exactly what you talked about through programming, through spots, commercial spots. And the thing we're doing is creating a synergy between the programming, commercials, and the social community.
Right.
Whereas networks say, okay, if Coca-Cola is going to buy out and pay for the show, they can have all the commercial spots and wraparounds and you know, all the different bumpers they want. But you don't really create a true synergy between what your network represents. Because most networks don't represent anything. Shows represent something.
Right.
A show would represent, you know, whatever it is, whether right. it's a, you know,
networks
biggest
loser. Represent dollars. It,
absolutely, and shareholders. And so we have shareholders, but at the same time, we're trying to change the dynamic of why we're in business. Not just to be in business, but why even be in business? Yes, you can make money, but you can make even more money by doing positive, healthy things. You know, yes, you're gonna get the big companies, you know, coming after you, you know, to start and saying, oh, you can't do that, or you need our products, but we've blacklisted them. We don't want them. We don't want soda companies. We don't want fast food. We want nothing to do with them. You know, there's plenty of other networks to go advertise on. But there's a lot of middle market companies that are not being seen. You know, Bob's Red Mill, you know, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, other healthy companies that are actually making products that go into those retailers that only do radio play because just of cost of economics.
Sure.
Here we're trying to create an economic value add that they can come on and get a network, get a social community, but more importantly, reach the audience that they really want to reach.
Well, and also I think that if you do commercials right, and that goes for the radio spots that we cut together here on the show or for television spots. I mean, you can, a television spot can be like a little mini movie. It's like a little short, and there's no reason that you can't make it fun to watch, entertaining. It can make you laugh. It can make you cry. It doesn't always have to kind of be so pitchy.
Yeah.
That people feel like, ugh, fast forwarding through that, it's pitchy. I mean, if you look at the kind of commercials that they gear towards the Super Bowl, the Oscars, all the big ones, they're made to be entertaining and people stay and listen. People at this party were getting up during the game, but not getting up during the commercials.
That's right.
And there's no reason that every commercial can't be that interesting. It's not about budget. It's about thought.
I couldn't agree more. And if you're intelligent in your design of your programming, not to say intelligent design is intelligent, but the actual
right.
concept of designing intelligent programming, and you find a way to not only merge that with the products, you can eliminate most of your commercials at the end of the day. You can actually, if you're smart with your product integration and product placement, you can find better ways of reaching your audience. Because yes, commercials are fun and you know they can be great, but at the end of the day, what are you trying to do? You're selling a product.
Right.
You're trying to engage an audience.
Right.
And if you're intelligent with how you track those products when they actually exist in a show, you're finding better ways of not only getting to your audience, but you're not hitting them in the face with whatever product you're trying to sell to them.
Right.
You know,
right. And I think product placement is so coming back.
It's going to be the future.
And sponsored by, you know, this quarter, sponsored by... I mean, if you idolize a hero, I mean, if you love, you know, a show where, you know, there's a cop who's a hero or a superhero, yeah. all these things that are so popular right now, and you see them, they're constantly drinking a juice instead of a product that maybe has no food value. People are going to go out and buy that juice. Kids
That's right.
are going to ask for that juice. Can I have the juice? Can I have that? Can I have the healthy thing? I mean, look at what Telly Savalas did in the 70s for the lollipop. I mean, somebody could do that for the carrot. Oh, I eat little mini carrots, and he's always chewing on carrots, and there could even be some joke in the show for why he's always eating carrots. Suddenly, kids are going to start asking, can I have vegetables? Can I have a celery stick? Can I have this? It's just people mimic what they see on television.
Absolutely, but they not only mimic what they see on television, they mimic what they learn in school. And we have had a
right.
broken wheel of a healthcare system, but
right.
more importantly, a health initiative and in terms of educating our children. Because, you know, as you know, the food pyramid, which was just replaced by the food plate, which is a joke in itself. You know, they've tried so long. And the reason this happens is the government doesn't want to shut down farmers.
Right.
You know, even though it's pretty widely known that, you know, beef is not good for you. Corn products and corn byproducts and high fructose corn syrup and partially
right.
hydrogenated oils. I mean, I could talk about this forever. We know now. Inherently there's things we shouldn't be eating, but we're also told at a young age that these are the things you need to sustain life.
Right.
This is what you need. This pyramid is the essence of who you are as a person, as a human, and sustenance. We are now finding out that that's absolutely incorrect, and so we have to kind of re-engage, but more importantly, we have to, you know, kind of wipe the hard drive of our brain that has all that information that was incorrect for many years taught to us.
Right.
And we've been preaching it to everybody else. And that's our other goal of Anthos, is to really find a way to reapproach how we approach food. I mean, for instance, if you look at these the corn commercials, you know, the corn industry and the U.S. government have really hyped up the whole concept, and they actually claim, and I think we talked about this, they claim
right.
in the corn commercial that corn syrup, the body doesn't know the difference between corn syrup and regular sugars.
Right.
I'm sorry. We're not talking about corn syrup. We're talking about high fructose corn syrup.
Well, the idea that we say, no, it's good. It has corn. Well, if you want corn, then make corn on the cob.
Corn is actually a major allergen to the human body. Human bodies do not process corn well. So when you start looking at the high yield crops that we have, especially in this country,
right.
There are things that we really should minimize as much as possible,
right.
You know, the gluten products and everything else. But the problem is, again, things like gluten, people right. try to use that as a diet craze or something else. No, it's just be smart. Listen to your body. Your body's right. trying to tell you.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, I shouldn't be eating this. You shouldn't be doing that. Your body knows.
Right.
It knows after you've eaten a McDonald's burger. Trust me, it knows for about 63 days after it's eaten a McDonald's burger what's going on.
I think that my personal, I think everybody has a thing that is kind of their thing. For some people, it's the corn syrup. I'm not crazy about the corn syrup. For some people, it's corn. For some people, it's gluten. For me, it's like empty calories. Like people just, you know, the constant, nothing but sugar, empty calorie, empty calorie, empty calorie. And even sometimes telling kids or people, look, it has no fat, low in fat. Yeah. I mean, isn't that great? It's just all sugar. So you're not even getting any fat, and your body needs fat for things, but doesn't really need sugar.
Well, your body's going to turn it into fat sooner or later. It's going to do something with that sugar that it should not be doing.
But there are foods that have a fat content, like an avocado or something, that are good for hair, skin, teeth, you know, good for parts of your body.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, but a rock star is not really good for anything.
Oh, are you kidding me? It has milk thistle in it. So it's, as you're destroying your body, you're repairing your entire urinary tract. So.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And it has glycerol of wood rosin.
You know, on my last film, we had Rockstar actually sponsored the last film we did. So we had
Look, I don't think any of that is wrong.
No, it's I'm just saying. I'm guilty.
I was at the grocery store last night and I noticed that the juice aisle has the juice part of the juice aisle is getting smaller and smaller. And the waters, the flavored waters and the diet drinks and the energy drinks are taking over the juice aisle. And I think everybody should have the right to eat and drink anything they want. I don't believe in anything being banned.
Absolutely.
I think all drugs should be legal.
Absolutely.
Tax it all and then people have at it. But I think that sometimes what we market to people as this is a healthier thing for you isn't necessarily a healthier thing. It's just something with a lot more chemicals. And studies have really shown that the body doesn't really do well with chemicals.
Well, I mean, and you look at flavoring, just the concept of flavoring and artificial flavoring.
Right.
Think about that. I mean, almost everything we have has artificial flavoring in it. Now, what is artificial flavors? It's some scientist since the 50s sitting there and they slowly combine chemicals
right.
to find the right taste. And they keep tasting, oh, that tastes like we found cherry. Guess what? We spent 10 years, we've created the artificial flavor of cherry, which is all a bunch of chemicals. It's just chemicals poured into...
And it doesn't even really taste like cherry.
No.
Because if you eat a cherry, our idea of what cherry tastes like is like a cherry icy. But a cherry doesn't even really taste like that.
And then you add the coloring on top of that, all the yellow and red and all these FD&C dyes. It's psychological because if you see a lollipop that's red and you taste it and it kind of has the flavor, it may not even be cherry. Your brain says, this is cherry.
Right.
Even though it's not.
It's very true. I'll tell you an interesting story. You know, I had a thing this summer with my blood sugar.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I went on a holistic plan to get my sugar down, which worked beautifully. And one of the things was get off the chemicals. For people with blood sugar problems, chemicals, no chemicals, no chemicals. So I did. So my mom has been a type 2 diabetic for 30 years. And, you know, never really kind of went all out to try to get rid of it. Never let it get really bad, but never really took care of it. So she was having a problem with her kidneys, and she had to go on a diet where she couldn't have anything with potassium. So it took out canned foods, it took out frozen foods, it took out things with salt. So she was eating literally vegetables, meat, and things from the grocery store and no more anything that's prepackaged. And her blood sugar shot so low that she had to reduce her medication 4 times in a week.
Yeah.
Because it was all the chemicals. Because, you know, my folks are older. And they go to the store and they get the French bread pizzas and they get frozen this and frozen that because it's easy.
Yeah.
But it's also full of chemicals. And if there's one thing I've learned from this summer of my wonky health, it's that get off the chemicals.
Yeah.
You know?
We're addicted.
Honestly, if you want to have a tablespoon of cane sugar, do it.
Absolutely.
But stop with the chemicals. And I don't think the artificial sweeteners are any better because I don't care if they don't have any. It's not real sugar. You know, 1 calorie. Yeah, but it's like 50 million chemicals.
Yeah. Well, and I think the thing is cost of manufacturing. It's become so inexpensive to just buy vats of chemicals and add that to food.
Sure.
And food additives than it is to actually get like Dole Foods. Dole actually spent a ton of money changing their entire packaging model to where all of their packaged fruit, little fruit cups have all natural fruit juice in them.
It's wonderful.
So and that cost them a lot of money doing it, and their cost of manufacturing is more, but they made that initiative to make sure they have absolutely nothing else added to their food products. You know, and companies are taking this initiative now.
Yeah. And I've noticed that, because one of the things that I learned from this holistic plan was to always, I became a label reader. And I've noticed that a lot of brands now, and you know, the doctor that I worked with, his whole thing was like, look, if it's got more than like 10 ingredients, just throw it away.
That's right.
Because when you get to the point where you're not recognizing anything, if there's like one more thing that you don't recognize, just toss it. So I've noticed that now you can find a lot of brands, even in stores, where the amount of ingredients have begun to go down.
Absolutely.
Because people are starting to take the chemicals out of things. Companies are saying, hey, maybe we don't need 55 dyes in everything.
Absolutely.
I think it's fantastic.
And I think the thing is that's missing in the health food market, the healthier foods market, is packaging. I hate to, you know, because at the end of the day, these kids are looking, okay, you got a candy bar over here. It's at the end, and the shelf space at supermarkets are giving the bad food areas right by the counter. So imagine if you walked up to a register and it wasn't a bunch of candy bars. I mean, Trader Joe's and people do, you know, and Whole Foods do this, but actually have quick, fresh fruits and vegetable snack packs and things right at the register.
Right.
People are going to buy that. Because right now you don't know it. The only thing that's, you know, semi-freshly packed, which are like Lunchables and things like that, which are horrible for your kids.
Right.
And so I think education is the first starting point, which is what we're trying to do with Amphas, which is education base, create quick recipes, ideas. People like Rashid, you know, who are brilliant, you know, raw foods chefs, who can actually take very short, very inexpensive, very quick ways to prepare and to sustain life and live the best life you can live without having all this crap, without ever even going in and grabbing candy bars or any of the junk.
Now, tell me a little bit about some of the shows that are going to be launching this year on the Anthos channel. Because I know we've talked about it off air, but I don't think we've ever discussed it on air.
You got it. Well, we've kind of created an amalgamation of a network television and a cable network.
Beautiful.
That's what we are. So we have a primetime block, which functions just like a network primetime block, you know, which is our anchor show, which is called My Anthos. And My Anthos is our Tuesday, Thursday night show, which is kind of like a global social cause dedicated to celebrities. So each episode is a celebrity, their social cause. We go on location with them and we find out really the heart of not just, oh, I'm a celebrity, this is my social cause, but find out what it means, why they're
it's
doing
beautiful.
This. We have a show called One. And one is about a person, one person in the world that you've never heard of that is changing the world. They're changing the guy who created the malaria pill in South Africa. I mean, these people that are not just changing their world, they're changing the entire planet. You know, we have a morning show, which is like our version of Good Morning America. It's called Now. And Now is a 2-hour block of live, you know, very positive news, all dynamic, you know, people who really want to also change the world. And then we've got a major mixer, music programming. We have a show called Lessons from the Legends with Mike Garzon, who has been touring with David Bowie since 76. He's one of the best, considered probably the top pianist on the face of the planet. I'm sure somebody's going to call in and be like, no.
I'm sure.
Yeah, and we've got just a very interesting group of people, you know, that are kind of coming aboard. And music is a large part of our network because, you know, Craig Shoemaker, who's the comedian, is also with us. He's actually our head of creative development. And we're developing a show with Craig called Laughter Heals, all about the healing power of going in, changing your perspective on life through the power of laughter.
But music heals too.
Music, food, and laughter. By the time you create a life and a synergy based on those sort of foundations, you change your entire perspective on the world.
Well, I think, and we don't really realize that you know, we're just now, and I think we talked about this the last time you were here, Charles, in the last 15, 20 years, really understanding the energetic properties of art. What you take in energetically in addition to what you see, hear, feel. I mean, and that you can be altered spiritually and in a way emotionally and chemically from the kind of programming that you take in, from what's in your iPod, from what you're listening to in your car stereo, from what's on your TiVo, from what films you're going to see, what you're watching on YouTube. I mean, it really does make a difference. It's every bit as important as the kind of living energies you surround yourself with. I mean, you can become very negative if you have very negative friends. You can become very negative if everything that you watch is very negative or everything you listen to is very negative.
Absolutely. And I think all of us want to tune in to those frequencies, but unfortunately there's religiosity. There's a million things in this country, in the world, that have stopped people from actually progressing.
Right.
You know, we think that it's a foundation, but it's not. When a foundation is built on something that is not what you are, you're going to follow that and never truly resonate with things. I mean, you bring up resonation of art and music.
Absolutely.
I mean, music is electrical energy. It's magnetic frequencies. It's all these different things that are coming and right. hitting your eardrums. People don't realize that. Like Deborah Wilson, who we talk about a lot, right. is a close friend
Wonderful.
Of both of ours.
Yes.
You know, Deborah does didgeridoos. And she does, when she, if you had, I mean, you know, when she does a didgeridoo up your, well, not yeah. up your body, but she does
the whole
the same,
San Fernando yeah. Valley vibrates.
Oh my,
when she plays
your organs vibrate,
yes.
but you feel so at one because right. your body is actually in vibrational harmony
right.
with the music that is going through your body.
But you know what? It's not only, Charles, it's not only the energetic resonance of the didgeridoo. You're getting Deborah's essence.
Oh.
sort of infused into you when she plays that thing that close to you.
Absolutely.
And that's amazing because she's literally putting her breath into that thing and the resonance of it is coming out of her and right into everybody in the room.
And if you were to drop us in the middle of a Midwestern town having this conversation, they think we're quacks.
Right, right.
You know, and that's acceptable.
We'd already be tied to
absolutely,
a stake
absolutely
and half on
feathered.
Fire.
And yeah, sure. I'm okay with that. If I go down that way, at least I'm going down the right
well,
way.
Well, but don't you think that a lot of what the whole movement of organized religion since... Oh, God. I don't know. The beginning of time. Let's say yeah. since the time of Christ. We'll put a cap on it. Has very much been about, it's promoting fear.
Yep.
And it's promoting anxiety.
Yep.
And it's, if I don't do dot, 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 then I will burn in hell or the wrath of God will come for me.
Absolutely.
And this country that was formed by the most evil of all evil religious people, the Puritans, and there's nothing pure about them. We still have in this country to something that 500 years later, a lot of their resonance. And you see it in our television programming all the time. It's that you hear it in radio shows. You see it in our art. It's that if you don't, then this is going to happen.
Our country is ran by this rhetoric right now. The world is ran by this rhetoric right now. And what's crazy is if you look at our founding fathers, really, yes, they might have been of certain faith, but all of our founding fathers, all the Masons that were kind of got together, they were against the concept of organized religion. They
right.
were not only giving us the freedom of religion, they were giving us the freedom from religion.
Right.
And we've lost sight of that entirely because, you know, unfortunately, churches, organizations, nonprofits, all these different groups use the fear factor
sure.
instead of saying, if you do good by each other, it doesn't matter what religion you're in. It doesn't matter if you go to church on Sunday. If you help people, the whole core of Christ's message, whether you believe he was God's son or a person or whatever he was, I have no idea. I can't state that
right.
I know.
It doesn't
because,
matter.
Yeah,
it's the same message
it's
of
a
love.
It's the message of love. You've
right.
got it. But that has nobody's following that message. I mean,
no,
there are groups that are, but a majority of the churches
right.
and religious groups don't preach that. They preach, well, you must love each other, but all these people are wrong. You know, where Muslims are wrong or Jews are wrong
right.
or you know, the Arabs or whatever it is. You know, whatever's happening, the cliche of the day in religion, we get drawn into that because media has been perpetuating it.
Right. Well, and it's always about, you know, like you were talking about, whatever Christ was. We spend so much time arguing. Was he the son of God? Was he a prophet? Is he this? Is he that? That we're avoiding the importance. I mean, Christ is somewhere saying, did anybody even, are you even
yeah.
listening? Did
yeah.
I even come and say
Don't
anything?
Start churches. Do not worship me. Do
right.
not, do not, do not. Yet everybody's
right.
going, oh, I got to go to church to pray on Sunday because
right. Don't
this
worship
is
false idols. And now that everybody's got a picture of Christ.
And Mother Mary. I mean,
right.
you by the time.
Somebody sees Mary and the cornflakes.
And I'm not, I would never attack a religion because almost all of
either.
Our friends are all very religious,
I
very
have no
conservative.
Problem with that.
And so for us, we never get into those conversations. But what we believe, or what I believe, is that we're all equal. We're all people.
Me
we're
too.
All, we are all inhabitants of the planet Earth. And we are so microscopic and infinitesimal in the real reality of what's happening in the universe. And what's great is they found this other exoplanet, which is what, 22 light years away?
Right.
That's what, 1.5 times the size of Earth or whatever. I mean, this is showing who we are.
Yeah.
We are so off course by staying here on this earth and protecting Israel or protecting my house or whatever I'm protecting. We're protecting something so microscopic
right.
in the true scope of what we are.
Right.
If we really want to find out our origins, we really want to find out our maker or makers or whatever energy created us, we need to go as far as we can into the universe and find out really what's happening. Those who don't want to do it are afraid because they want to hold on to this fear.
I think they're afraid that something is going to come back here that is stronger and smarter than us. Because we're used to being the smartest kid in class for a really long time. Although, hello, dolphins, whales, elephants, horses. But we don't think about that. We think about...
Well, the dolphins left in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Right,
so.
Yeah, let me tell you something. The dolphins, I don't blame them when occasionally they rape a person. I think, you know... They You're like, you know what? I've been trying real hard not to rape you all for a really long time.
So I should be watching the dolphins when I go to Santa Monica, huh?
Yes. Be a little careful after what we've done to those dolphins. But I think we're scared that something bigger is going to come.
It absolutely is.
Okay, and now you all can work my farm.
Absolutely. Well, we are probably part of that farm. We are probably part of this experiment. I mean, right. We have no idea. And what's crazy, too, is if you start looking at who we are and how we look at history of humanity, we're wrong. I mean, just the fact that we've, you know, all the religious groups have based, a 6,500-year-old culture. That's what we are in terms of religious ideology and time frame. Yet, you know, they're finding, civilizations that are 14, 25, 30,000 years old. How, I don't want anybody to explain why. Just let's figure out the bigger picture. Let's stop worrying about, whoa, am I going to go to heaven? Am I going to go to heaven? You know what? Great. If there's a heaven, I think I'm doing everything right in my life to go there if that exists. But I'm not going to spend my life trying to fear that I'm not going there.
Well, and you spend your whole life wasting your whole time on Earth, waiting to go somewhere else. And you even hear sometimes religious people saying, oh, I'm just getting through it till I can go be with my Lord. Well, aren't you with your Lord here? I'm confused. God doesn't come here? This is some kind of God no zone? There are times when I would believe that. If you watch the news enough, I would think maybe that was true.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I think that, I think that that whole kind of ideology that we've grown up on with the, since, you know, Judeo-Christianity kind of took it all over, not going back and remembering that a lot of the very early religions were very earth-based, very... very spirit-based, very creator-based. And that doesn't mean that if you believe in that, I can't believe we're talking about religion, that if you believe in that, you have to throw away Jesus and all, because you don't. I mean, it's...
Well, look at the American Indians. You know, you look at the American Indians, and, you know, their belief is that they all came from the stars.
Okay.
Most of the American Indian cultures believe that we are, whether we were energy brought here or we were from some other source, they believe that the origins of humanity, whether it be a microscopic single-celled organism, came on a meteor, or we were evolved, or whatever it is, whether or we're a grand design of some alien species having fun. We don't know.
Right. And again, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
What matters is what are we doing here now with our time? Not what are we doing here, like, what am I doing here? But what are we doing on this planet with the time we have here?
Well, I would put a lot more lot in all religions. I was raised, you know, Jewish. So I would put a lot more lot in religion in general. And this isn't one, this is all religions as a whole globally. If there wasn't the monetary factor pushing it. It's hard to watch all these organizations, you know, kind of scalping money from all the elderly and all these people that don't even have it to spend, yet they're willing to spend 20-30% of whatever they have to support the organization that they believe in.
But don't you think that's kind of just the nature of the human cycle? Because I remember my mom, I was raised Irish Protestant, nobody shoot me in the face now. And my mother was sort of a secret New Ager from the 50s that she never really had told anybody about till I got old enough to talk to. And she went and tried a lot of the very popular kind of New Age metaphysical churches and discovered there was a lot of the same hierarchy and a lot of the same, again, it's the same collection plate. You know, it's the nature of humanity.
Absolutely.
And humans need to, it's not that this religion's wrong, that religion's wrong, this political party is wrong, that political party is wrong. It's that we as human beings need to change the outcome of our lives starting today, so that we can surpass and grow beyond all of that to a place where we don't have to cling to something like that to feel happy or to feel like we belong.
I couldn't agree more. And it's how we resonate. And we choose how we resonate.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like you brought up politics, you know, especially what's happening this year. We have become more polarized than I ever remember
us
being.
It's craziness.
And it's
every
because
election, it's worse.
It's kind of hit that ceiling to where you have to actually take a step back. For us, it's like we don't fit in any category. We're not liberal. We're not conservative. We're not any of them because, you know, fiscally, we're most definitely conservative. We protect what we are. We believe in freedom. We don't believe in a huge government pressing down on you. But at the same time, is we don't believe in the religious sanctions that have wrapped themselves around the GOP party. Yet then you look at the liberal side and it's like you're fighting a battle on each side. We don't why should we be pigeonholed into either side? We should be able to vote conscionable. We should be able to be a person that votes what we believe in, not a piece of what we believe in, and make it fit into a pocket.
And what if, and I host a politics show here once a week, and we always say, like, what if one day you wake up and decide that the candidate you like's on the other side? Are you never allowed to like anybody who doesn't have a letter behind their name that matches yours? And that's kind of when I grew up very liberal. I was raised very much a Democrat and, again, Irish. It's just how we are. And I grew up in a very conservative part of Orange County where I think I was one of two Democrats and the other was my mom. And it was very much about that sort of religious oppression yeah. that I was always rebelling against until I saw over the last couple of presidential elections people that claim to be liberals being just as, well, you have to be like this or you don't fit. Oh. And you have to... I had someone tell me I was a closet conservative because I drive a Mercedes sedan.
Well, and you look at you yeah. look at the synergies between, you know, the liberals and the conservatives, and if you draw right. a circle, and they'll join each other at the bottom anyways.
It's ridiculous. It's and the more I learn about politics for the show, the more I find out that I respect everybody's right to vote however they want, to belong to whatever party they want. I think that's all terrific. But I think there's a bigger picture past, I'm the D and I hate the R, and I'm the R and I hate the D. And when people get kind of funky, I had a friend a couple of months ago say something like, well, what are you going to do about your friends that are Republicans? And I thought, what am I going to do? With friends that I've been friends with for 20 years, I'm keeping friends with them.
Absolutely.
And not care how they vote because it's yeah. not my business.
Has nothing to do with who you are as
it's
a person.
It's not my business who they sleep with. It's not my business what they eat.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
If you're sleeping with them.
Well, no. If I'm sleeping with them, then it's a bit my business. It's not my business what church they worship at or none. You know,
absolutely.
That's fine.
It's irrelevant.
We're all on our own path, and we need to get out of everybody else's business and get on our own path.
I couldn't
fix
agree
your
with
own
you more.
Backyard one at a time.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Because if you don't, the dolphin will come for you. It's the Sheena Metal Experience, LA Talk Radio. More with the wonderful Charles Edelman. After this, we're going to be talking more about the Anthos Channel and their wonderful programming.
Discovering Sheena Metal.
Continue to consider the source.
Do you think we could turn on the city lights for a while?
Brittany Elizabeth has the voice of an angel and the looks of a movie star. She's performed everywhere from Carnegie Hall to the Knitting Factory in Hollywood. This critically acclaimed singer-songwriter reveals it all in her authentic and powerful CD, Breathe In, now available on Desert Sunrise Records. See, hear, and buy Brittany Elizabeth at BrittanyElizabeth.com.
Passion to create the finest quality instrument available anywhere. That's what Minarek Guitars is all about. With his patented tone chamber engineering, Mark Minarek revolutionized the sound of the guitar and bass. He transformed the ordinary guitar body using designs and shapes that truly make his guitars a playable work of art. With artists like Dave Navarro, Dick Dale, and Gene Simmons all playing a Minarek, you know the tone matches the talent. Visit Minarek Guitars online at Minarek Guitars, MinarekGuitars.com.
Hey, you, the talented musician who any label would want if they knew where to find you, come here. We need to get you some serious label attention. So how is that label going to find you with no money and no hot contacts? I'll tell you how. Music Highway, the free online, in-the-know, independent music resource, where you log on and find free industry contacts, free bookings in great LA clubs, and best yet, free radio play on Music Highway Radio. Just log on music-highway.com. Music Highway, where you pave your own road to success.
Your period is a vital sign. If you are a woman under 40 and your period has stopped or is irregular, you may have a condition known as premature ovarian failure, or POF. Other symptoms of POF include infertility, hot flashes, and fatigue. If you have any of these symptoms or know someone who does, please visit our website for more information at www.pofsupport.org. Remember, your period is a vital sign.
Brought to you by the International Premature Ovarian Failure Association. Back by popular demand, one of New York City's favorite rock bands, Joe Steele, brings their unique brand of heavy metal mayhem to the West Coast with the release of their new CD, Rock Hard or Die.
Rock Hard or Die!
To see where you can purchase Rock Hard or Die, or for upcoming tour dates, visit JoeSteeleRocks.com. Remember to request Joe Steele Rock Hard or Die at your local music retail store. Rock Hard or Die at JoeSteeleRocks.com.
Every Thursday night, Sheena Metal hosts Carneyville. LA Talk Radio's Sheena Metal presents Carneyville at the Other Door Bar in NoHo. Great live bands, carny games, circus performers, food trucks, full bar, drink specials, and a whole big party with guys, gals, and great live bands on stage at the Other Door, the nightclub in NoHo. The Other Door is at 10437 Burbank Boulevard, just east of Cahuenga. Carneyville starts at 8 p.m. Cover is just $5. Sheena Metal hosts Carneyville every Thursday night at the Other Door Bar in NoHo.
I'm glad that you don't know.
Scott Joss and Doug Colosio, two members of Merle Haggard's band, have released their first album called A Couple of Strangers.
Yeah, my voodoo woman's calling out to me.
Scott Joss and Doug Colosio on iTunes from Colosio Publishing.
So don't bother knocking, come on in, the party's rocking. I wonder if I do.
Johnny Harmonic.
This is Johnny Harmonic. We all love bright, shiny things. Johnny Harmonic. We all love bright, shiny things. On iTunes from Colosio Publishing.
Found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to The Sheena Metal Experience with your host, Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's the Sheena Metal Experience right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, latalkradio.com and sheenametalexperience.com. Don't forget to email me and let me know what you think of the program. The wonderful Charles Edelman from the Anthus Channel joins us today. And I think that my listeners are so hyped up now about when you finally launch the Anthus Channel. I think you need to come in here with balloons and it's the build up to it is insane. But your idea to launch the social media network surrounding it first, I think, was unbelievably brilliant.
Absolutely. It's kind of interesting as we, this is several years in the making, and originally you have the concept of a cable network, of course, much like, OWN and other things that have come out, but the media is changing so rapidly in how we're getting media, Xbox and PlayStation, you can watch TV and news services on there now.
Sure.
So we're really assessing and more importantly, reassessing how we're going to deploy. And through that, we kind of felt that, let's get the social community up because that really is the core of who we are. We can do our news programming through there, all our stuff. And now that that's up, we're starting to build the base community. And from there, we can evolve and get feedback from users and other people and advertisers and really find what our base is.
I think that's wonderful. Now, I kind of interrupted you because we launched off into this enormous discussion about everything you're never supposed to talk about, which I believe is politics,
religion.
raping dolphins, and extraterrestrials that want to use as a food source. So,
are all one thing. You realize that?
I know.
You have described the super alien species.
I know.
Yep.
The dolphin is my god. It is my slave. It can eat me. I don't care. What are some of the other shows that you have launched? I mean, because the ones that you named so far are unbelievable.
Oh my god, see, you put me on the spot. What do I know?
You've got the Anthus Morning Show.
We've got a great show called The Great Health Debate, and Karen Cohen, who is our head of programming, and Karen was the program director for NBC New York for 9 years, and Karen really was the impetus for this network originally. So she created a show called The Great Health Debate, which is really that you get alternative mainstream practitioners, and each day is a different subject. It's an hour live roundtable discussion, and it's not you get specialists. So one day it's cancer. Well, cancer will probably take a month, but you've got one day diabetes, and you get people who are alternative paths and alternative people and doctors.
It's wonderful.
And you just throw all the realities on the table and realize we're not that far. These individuals and professionals aren't that far from each other in terms of what they're trying to accomplish. They're just light years away on how they're trying to get there.
Right.
And unfortunately, we've been sold into a system that is not working. Our healthcare system does not work. And it doesn't work not because we shouldn't have universal healthcare. That's not the issue.
Right.
The issue is, what are we giving universal healthcare for? We have healthcare, but if you say, well, if I'm not going to eat right, and I'm not going to take care of my body, yet I'm expecting the U.S. government to pay for all my healthcare when I'm older, yet I can't even take care of myself during my life, that's wrong. If you say, I'm going to commit to living a healthy life, then yes, we should be incentivized to do that. But we're not.
No, and we're not at all. And I have found that a lot just in the very short time that I've been a diabetic. The whole ideology seems to be, it's such a pain in the ass to change your diet. If you eat too much or if you just get fatter, it's okay because it's just to take more medicine.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it's feeding this enormous epidemic in our country. The idea, when I tell people that I've weaned off the medicine, that I'm almost off the medication, that I did it by changing my diet. And everybody seems kind of shocked, like, what? can't you just go on insulin or take more medication?
Yeah.
Okay, so I should, instead of just stopping eating sugar, I should just really load up on the sugar and then load up on medication. But I think you see that with heart medication, with cholesterol, with blood pressure medications. It's just like, you know what? You don't need to take care of yourself because we have more medication
That's
in this cabinet.
Right.
And where does it end? I mean,
it doesn't.
People are.
We have to end it. You can't let corporations run your life, and they are running it. And the more you have to remember, they have the bottom line are shareholders. The bottom line
right.
are shareholder is not your health. Your health, the worse your health gets, or the more they can keep your health teetering, the more medications they can feed you.
Right.
So if you're healthy, if you actually created a miracle drug, a wonder drug, what these pharmaceutical companies are portraying that they've created, you shouldn't need drugs afterwards. That miracle drug should cure you or should do something.
Right.
All they're doing is not only perpetuating the system, they're actually breaking down your immunity. They're breaking down all different core components of your body, your
right.
organs,
I agree.
Your vascular system, your every part of your body is breaking down. So they go, oh, here's another drug to build up that component. Well, that component breaks down something else.
Right. And it's a shame because I think that modern medicine is a miracle. The things that they can do and the things that they can fix. But it doesn't need to be overfixed. It's for when nothing else will work.
Absolutely.
Okay, if you're sick and nothing else is getting rid of that infection, then here are some antibiotics. I have a sniffle. Here's 5 Cipro prescriptions.
And I grew up in a pharmacy. You know, my dad's a pharmacist. My mom's a nurse. My uncle's a doctor. My whole family's in the medical industry.
Right.
And it's because of that that I'm you know, major part of why we're launching Anthos is because I grew up in that environment.
Yeah.
And it's very sad because you see all these people, especially growing up in a pharmacy and working register and helping my dad, you saw people who were getting worse and worse and worse. When you look at them, they look like they'd be normally healthy people.
Yeah.
Yet they get into the cycle of drugs, and it's worse than any other drug addict when you start getting into prescription drugs.
Sure.
And we're all addicts. We've been turned into addicts in order to facilitate the bottom line of these corporations. And that's wrong. You know, 90% of what's out there, you can take care of yourself. Yes, there are diseases. Yes, there's infections. Yes, there's need for certain antibiotics. Absolutely. But not in the way that we're using them right now. We're abusing them.
And people just don't want to do the work to be healthy. It's really interesting. If I had a dime for every time in the last 6-10 months now I've been diabetic, that people have tried to talk me back into eating sugar. Well, couldn't you just use Splenda? Well, couldn't you just use honey? Well, couldn't you just squeeze all the sugar out of a pear and stick it in there? Well, couldn't you just, I mean, it's like, what? Look, I've quit sugar. Why are you trying to talk me back? I remember once sitting in a club I was working at in front of just an amazing array of treats that one of the regulars of the club had baked for the staff. And they were like, here, take this red velvet thing, take this thing. And I'm like, no, I'd love to, but I quit sugar.
Yep.
And it's for life.
Yep.
But couldn't you just, you know, couldn't you just stick this in your arm? Would it have the same effect? You know, it's sugar. It's not like it's anything that I need.
Yeah, that's, it really isn't, but we can't
tell ourselves. We are a sugar-conditioned culture.
We absolutely are. I mean, since the, you know, 40s and 50s when packaged foods and Hershey's bars and hamburgers became Americana, and once Americana started exploding on the rest of the world,
right.
we've kind of created a very dysfunctional food system. That's global now. I mean, you know, you know, Forks Over Knives, you know, which is a great documentary, talks about the whole China study in the 80s.
Sure.
And how we as a culture in the U.S. have completely changed the dynamic of Earth, of how people eat. You know, beef and all these other things, which are the largest problems of global warming. I mean, people don't realize
sure.
that cattle are one of the biggest problems on the face of the planet. And if you were to take just the food, and they talk about this in Forks Over Knives, if you were to take just the grain that is fed to the cattle, that is the beef's population of Earth, you would feed the entire world. Just the grain that is fed to the cattle that we consume globally would feed, just the grain feeds the entire population of Earth.
Right.
Is something wrong here?
Right, right.
And the food that we are digesting is not good for us. The red meats and everything else, and the animal proteins that are actually breaking down our entire systems. They're killing our veins. You know, their cholesterol, and our body doesn't know what to do with it. This is like ingesting another living being. And when you ingest animal proteins, those animal proteins actually stick to the inside of all your cellular walls and break it down. And it's horrible. You know.
I'm not ever going to eat again after this.
We still eat. I was bad today, so I can't say I'm
maybe
still
I'll
guilty.
Eat just once. Maybe
I'm,
once.
I am still
eat.
Guilty,
but isn't it interesting when you say to people, like when I've told people, and not to keep coming back to me, but I am Charles. Why did you quit sugar? And I say, well, I shot up my blood sugar, losing weight too fast, and I almost lost my eyesight. And people say, oh, well, couldn't you just have, like, sometimes a candy bar? Wait, now, what part of... So I should rather have Snickers than my eyes. I don't really understand that, but that's our society, right?
Yep.
People would rather have treats than their health.
So if you do one shot of heroin every few weeks, you're not going to remain an addict.
Well, heroin addicts will tell you it's organic.
Absolutely.
Oh, but it's organic. It comes from a plant.
Yes, it does.
But aren't we interesting that we would rather lose our health than do anything to be healthy? I mean, to me, there are so many people out there that have diseases where there is no cure.
That's
there
right.
is no way you can fix it.
That's right.
And yet the biggest diseases in our country are the ones where we could fix it tomorrow, and we just won't.
Cancer, cancer, cancer.
Right.
Cancer.
Well, diabetes, heart disease, high
absolutely,
blood pressure.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And it's almost always, and
food,
cholesterol.
Food related.
You do it to yourself.
Food related. And we become such a culture that we expect to be treated like kings and queens, and we in turn believe that the foods that we ingest, that we get at fast food or from nice restaurants, makes us feel that way. Even the proportions on plates are ridiculous in this country.
Right.
And the rest of the world's becoming that way. I mean, my wife and I share a plate because we don't even finish it. And it's because we've learned to ration how we eat in our lives, and not because we did it intentionally at first, but then we just became part of our metabolism. You know, people have to learn to start looking at what you get, because when you get a plate at a restaurant, you look at that plate and you say, I'm going to eat this because I paid for this. That's
sure.
the mentality of what we become as a culture.
Sure.
But instead of minimizing or having multiple levels of the size of food that you purchase from a restaurant, but restaurants don't function that way. They're inherently not built to work that way.
Right, right. Yeah, and we're all about, right, like, it's the biggest portion ever. Eat this and get a prize. We love our portions, right? Supersize and double supersize and triple supersize. And the bigger the food, more food and more food and more food. Wow. And then we're just all so surprised. I don't know why my child is so unhealthy.
Exactly. I don't know why I have cancer or my child has diabetes or
right.
anything. You know, what's going on here? I don't get this. Oh, then I need healthcare.
That's okay. Don't worry about Junior. We'll just give him some medication and then he can eat all he wants.
Well, you know, there's an interesting thing the other day, and somebody had posed the question, is should morbidly obese children be taken away from their parents? No, absolutely not.
Right.
But there needs to be, the problem is the parents are educated a certain way. They're from a generation that
sure.
is told, you can eat what you want, you can do what you want. This is America. Freedom, you know, but freedom comes with a price if you don't know how to manage.
Sure.
And people just don't.
Yeah.
You know, if you're given a commercial, the Snickers commercial that says, you know, eat anytime, this is your meal replacement. How many years did Snickers advertise that
right.
you can replace
your meal?
Yes, Snickers satisfies.
Yeah.
Well, it may satisfy or satiate you,
right.
but at the end of the day, you've just ingested two meals worth of calories.
Right.
You've five different chemicals and gummy things that are going to clog
up all
But
you've had five peanuts, and that's protein.
That's right.
You've had five peanuts, and that's some good protein and roughage.
Peanuts are vegetables. So.
Right. You could just really have a bag of peanuts.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
that would be healthy.
Yeah.
But I think we've changed a lot as a society. I think a lot more people are drinking water. I remember when I was a kid, I was a weird kid that never liked soda. Don't get me wrong, people. I was a fat kid, but I never liked soda. And when I was little in the 70s, you would go to an amusement park or something and there was nothing but soda.
Yeah.
There was no water. There was no juice. There was no other option. And for a while as a kid, I taught myself to drink soda just because in a situation, it was the only thing to drink. And then when we moved out here, and there were always more nice choices in California. I think I drank soda for maybe 3 years, and I was like, I don't even know why. I don't even like it.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're absolutely right. We're seeing a dynamic shift in terms of what people are buying, the Odwallas and juices and things like that.
Yeah.
But even those are getting pricey. So you've got people go, well, I can get a Coke for 89 cents, you know, or I can spend $4 on a healthy juice. That's
right.
really the decision right now.
Right.
And it's hard because
seriously, you could put some water from home in some ice cubes and put it in a cup.
Yeah.
Take
Get
it
a
out.
Brita filter and you're on your way.
Right, exactly.
Agreed.
And you're all set and ready to go. There's this wonderful thing, it's called water, and it's a beverage. I'm just saying. I know it's better when it has artificial, like, you know, blue raspberry flavoring in it.
Oh, I love that. What's that little, the crazy commercials they're doing with those little, the flavor things? I don't remember what they're called, but it's a little, it looks like an eye drop, and you squeeze it into your water, and it's a flavor, it flavors your water, and it's bright colors. So it's all like red
yeah.
and dyes and orange dyes with saccharin and
right.
other
Which
things.
It's great
you know,
if you're having a
like,
cat scan.
It's like, what is this? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Am I
it's
getting
actually,
this with contrast?
It's a
you know,
contrast.
What's
I think you just put this in your water and then you walk, go to the airport and they can tell if you swallowed a key or a condom full of Coke. it's That's actually part of the Homeland Security.
You saw my airport
stance?
Part
of the Patriot Act 3.
version X-raying us. Version 3.1. Yeah. Oh,
are,
my God.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
We're living in the living X-ray now.
Oh.
Yeah. But you know what? I know. And it's so it must be hard for you, though, because you must find, and you're even so much farther into this than I am, Charles, that the more you go into trying to have awareness and cleaning up your act, the more farther you realize you have to go.
Oh, yeah.
Because the more you dive into it, then you hit another wall of ickiness. And then you move through that, you hit another wall. Because then it becomes, okay, this is how I'm eating, this is how I'm living. Now, what about the places that I'm patroning? What about the companies that I'm using?
Yep.
How are they treating people? What are they eating? What about this? And what? Yeah. And then it just never ends.
Yeah, well, there's a balance. And we had to learn that through the years of research that we did, primarily for us originally. But you find that there's no one place for that information. And more importantly, if there is a one place for the information, specifically in regards to health, you find that it's so one-sided. It's vegan, or it's this, it's that, it's one thing. Anthos is everything. We're the bridge. We want to be the bridge that actually takes mainstream food, diet, lifestyle, positivity, everything with the alternative world and saying, well, you guys are a bunch of vegan nut jobs, you know, which some of us are. You know, there's also, sure, there's that bridge that needs to be created that is needed right now. So people can be, if they have a year evolution in their health life cycle, they may have a 50-year evolution in their health life cycle. We don't know. We just want to, right, be able to give them all the tools they can possibly find in one location and make the right decisions for them.
Now, where do you draw the line with food? You're a vegan.
No, we're not a vegan. I was a vegan for a few years. I stopped. I won't tell you why. My wife came down from Canada. And Canada has a very different lifestyle of eating. I mean, there's a lot of fats and beef.
Yeah.
I mean, beef,
sure,
beef. Alberta beef.
It's the frontier.
Alberta beef.
Oh,
come
Alberta,
on. Alberta
Canada.
Beef. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
call that northern Montana.
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah.
Or they we're all Yanks to them, so
right,
they'd be very offended if we said that. So
they have good beef, though.
They do have good beef.
Wow.
But that's life up there.
Sure.
Literally.
Sure.
You know, so when you try to find alternatives, there are some popping up here and there because it's becoming much more metropolitan.
Right.
You still find that it's hard to actually digest a lot of the foods up there. A lot richer. There's other things like going into the Midwest. We're spoiled here in California, especially in LA. I mean, you have any conceivable type of food.
And
within,
our produce here is so much fresher. It's not like iceberg in a bag.
We have Oxnard right here. And then we have the valley up north. So we've got fresh vegetables and foods.
Yeah.
Our disposal. So we're fortunate, which a lot of the world doesn't have. But with that, we also want to find ways of, people just don't know how to prepare those foods.
Right.
They just don't know.
So when your wife came from Canada, that was the end of your veganism?
Well, no, I was more veggie than that, but yes. And then it took a few years, and now she's actually become even more concerned about it than I have.
Okay.
So I get reprimanded when I have something, you know, and it's kind of funny, but it is what it is.
Okay, so what's a bad thing? So we've talked about food a lot in this show. Now I'm hungry. What's a bad thing that you never eat? What's something that you're just like,
one thing,
no, like
we
with
have
me
cut,
and sugar? No.
One thing we have cut out almost entirely of our life is processed meats. Period. Anything with,
it's like bologna.
Oh yeah. I mean, once every maybe 2 years, we'll have what I call our white trash sandwiches, which are like bologna sandwiches, which,
sure,
I crave because I grew up that way. But in reality, processed meats, between the nitrates and the sodium,
sure,
and all this other stuff, you know, it's just so bad for you.
The
and
fillers.
I was getting migraines.
Yeah.
And once we stopped that actually was a huge cause of what was triggering my migraines. And so, you know, that's one thing that we just don't eat. I mean, we will, you know, we'll get like bacon, you know, once in a while from Trader Joe's, or the chicken sausage that,
sure,
has no nitrates. It's all, you know, fresh and,
right,
everything else. But you got to be careful. You just have to be careful.
Right. Right.
And you have to be educated. Don't just say, oh, well, Jim said this is that way. Do your research.
Okay, so you're not, I'm not as scared now to eat with you than I thought I was going to be. Because I thought you were going to be like, and we don't do this and none of this and none of that and vegan and we never have anything with wheat and nothing with gluten and none of this and none
very,
of that.
Well, very little gluten in our house. I was gluten free for a long time because I thought they were part of what was happening in my colon and digestive tract was, you know, partially caused from gluten intolerances. And even though I do have partial gluten intolerances, most people do.
Yeah.
You know, you'll find maybe one bag of normal pasta in our house, but almost all our pasta is either corn, quinoa, or like a rice, brown rice. And once you start having pastas like that, you can't even go back to a regular pasta because these taste even better.
Right.
So we found other ways. Slowly, you don't have to do it all at once. Slowly find, the best way to convert is to find the foods you absolutely love. Because the misnomer is everybody goes, I have to give up the things I love. No, you
right.
don't. Find the things you love and then figure out their alternatives.
And find out what your specific problem is. And that's interesting because with me, it was blood sugar. For other people, it's something else and their diet is totally different. And it wasn't just about what you cut out. It's also what you add.
Yeah.
It's eating the things you're supposed to eat and not eating the things you're not supposed to eat. If you just cut everything out, then you're back to like the diet of cigarettes and heroin. And that's
you got it.
LA, but not so good for you.
And the other thing I cut out unintentionally, and this is thanks to my brother-in-law, is Jell-O. Anything made with gelatin products.
Did you like Jell-O?
No. I just, gummy bears and things like that sometimes have gelatin bases in them.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a colon blockage, Wayne.
Well, not only is it colon blockage.
Is that what
blockage.
They found with your colon? Was it like there was a big wad of red vines?
Yes,
there?
Yes. melted gummy worms from 20 years
Star
ago.
Star Wars.
Yeah. From 1981, Mr.
They had never digested. Yeah, I wonder sometimes, even at my fattest, I wonder when people ate a lot of products that look like, wow, how is that ever going to get digested?
Well, anything that's gelatin-based is just boiled cow bones and hooves. That's what gelatin
oh,
is.
Goodness.
And so once you find out, a lot of products have gelatin. A lot of products.
Half of Utah has now turned off their radios, Charles.
So I'm sorry, but that's what gelatin is. Gelatin is the actual boiled down portion of bones and everything. That's what gelatin is.
And Jell-O's like, just nasty.
Jell-O's a boiled down cow. When you actually stop and think what Jell-O is.
With green flavoring.
With red FD&C, federally mandated dyes. I mean, and sugar.
Yeah. But yet, when you have surgery, that's the first thing
they give it to you at hospitals.
When you come out, congratulations, you didn't die.
Here's some Jell-O.
Here's a shaky, green, dye-ridden, hoofy thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's kind of scary.
If you survive this, we'll check you out.
But again, even with Jell-O, there's other things. There's stuff made from the cassava root, like tapioca bases and things like that taste even better.
That's yummy.
Yeah. So there's other healthy things. I mean, we're going to try to do, like, I love tapioca pudding, but that's a dairy product. So we're going to try to do tapioca with, like, rice milks or nut milks. And there's other ways that you can find ways of creating almost anything you eat now in other food types.
So you do no dairy?
Very rare. I had a little today, but rarely dairy.
Okay.
Rarely dairy. I not my thing.
Right.
Makes everybody gassy.
Okay. Yeah. That's not good for our world. Although we could use a little more methane to power some stuff. Maybe that
I don't think I want to attach a tube to my butt, all day long. I don't think that's a good idea.
If there was money involved, I might.
No.
I'm going to give that some thought. I don't really want to make a public
announcement. When I was sick, I had too many people going near that area, especially a lot of doctors.
Yeah.
Never
going to
happen again.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a good.
I had to have a colonoscopy on my 35th birthday.
Oh, goodness.
That was not fun.
Yeah. But you have not had to have a colon surgery.
No. They were going to do 13 inches colon resection, whatever it's called, because they thought I had advanced diverticulitis. But they were wrong.
But you didn't.
No.
You just had food allergies.
Oh, no, that was another thing. They actually found out that I had part of my testicular tract was compressing against where my colon was. So it was imitating all of these issues that diverticulitis and colitis and things like that are having, but it was actually caused from a whole completely different thing.
You just had huge balls.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's a great diagnosis, right? In the end, that was
Mr. Edelman, here's your stamp. Huge balls.
It
go home.
It wasn't that you had a jacked intestinal tract. It was just that you had huge balls, and it's those balls that have enabled you to start the Anthos Channel. So it turned out in the end to be a good thing, and I love that about you. So tell people how they can get to Anthos, to the social networking community.
If you go to www.anthus.com, ANTHUS.com, you can join the community, join the movement, find out, who you are. And we're really trying to shift the whole idea of just, it was really about the healthy lifestyle and everything else, but really we're going with the concept of finding your you. Finding out who you truly are through your life, through your wellness, through social cause, because that's how we found out who we were. I thought I knew who I was, but when you actually start helping other people, really helping other people, that you get so much back in return about
who you are. Oh, I am totally about that. And I think you and I have talked off air about how we've very much been on the same path
Absolutely.
For the last 3 or 4 years. And I would have told you 5 years ago that I was a spiritual person, that I was an emotionally balanced person, that I was a healthy person. And wow. The more you think you know, the more you realize you don't know, and the farther you have to go.
We're all students, and if we start listening to what everybody else has to say without getting rid of it. You can process it, understand them, and find ways of working with people globally.
I agree. But it's also miraculous, don't you think, that the more that you get in service to the universe and you really start working in service of the whole, a lot of times you just get healed on your own. A lot of healing just happens.
It is so true.
You don't have to put 20 years, you know, it's been this has been the easiest transition for me ever, spiritually, emotionally, physically. You know, I've lost 200 pounds and it feels like I haven't even been on a diet. Doesn't even feel like it. And it's because when you put yourself in service to something bigger, the rest kind of take care of itself in a way.
Absolutely. But it's good. You know, we covered a lot today. You know,
we did.
Especially
we always
colons,
did.
Aliens, religion. Right. You know, and through that we can find ourselves, you know.
Right. And now I know where to go if I need big balls. And you know that my pancreas hates me. So now we know everything about each other. That's all
You know what? Just even us having this discussion shows that we're all in a path of that there's nothing to hide.
Right.
You know, and I was raised in a family that, sex was never taboo. You know, talking about your problems, whether it be feminine or masculine or whatever, you just talked about them. So I think that's another reason I don't have a problem talking about colonoscopies
or going through
this stuff, because it's something that's happened to me. And if other people can learn what to and what not to do, then great, if I can impose that. But if you can aggregate tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of people with all the crap that they've been through and be able to have one resource that unites all of that, people are going to find out so much more about themselves.
I agree. Well, I also think it was important for us that we discussed a lot of heavy things, but with a sense of humor. That people don't think that being in service or being somebody who's trying to get their poop in a group means you suddenly lose your sense of humor. I can't talk about that because I'm all so serious. It's not about that. Your sense of humor is an important tool that you need to continue to laugh at yourself and at life through the entire process to bring more light into the world through the laughter.
You have to laugh at your stress.
Awesome.
Because
you're amazing. Will you come back and see me again? You know,
anytime
I'd love that.
Anytime you want.
And where can people find out about you online and the best place to get the quickest information on Anthos?
Just go to, again, anthos.com or Facebook.
Wonderful. And then you can also go to SheenaMetalExperience.com or LATalkRadio.com to find out information about the wonderful Charles Edelman and also about the Anthos channel. I'm Sheena. This is The Experience. You're listening to LA Talk Radio, and you know what we do here, people. Every Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we rip the veil off the human sideshow and expose the creatures I like to call big old Homo sapiens at their most bizarre and definitely at their most beautiful. And it's true every day on the show. Maybe my show, it is the Sheena Metal Experience after all. That doesn't mean it's not always and forever, undoubtedly and indubitably. And you know what I'm going to say, people. It may be my show, but it is most definitely your experience. Thanks for listening. Have a great night, and I'll see you all tomorrow.
You found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.